So, when you're playing there, how long does it take before Boomer Sooner starts to get annoying?
It's from the jump. From the jump, man. It'd be so
From the
loud
first
too, and
note.
it's like, oh man, it just makes you just want to just shut them up as quickly as possible.
Hey, I can't take it back. Look where I'm at. We was OG like DOC, remember that? My TOC was quite OD, ID my facts. Now POV of you and me, similar Iraq. I don't hate you, but I hate to critique, overrate you. These beats of a dark cart use bass lines to replace you. Take time and erase you. Love don't hear no more, no, I don't fear no more. But I get respect and quite sincere no more.
Hey, hey, it's OU Week, and this is the Air Raid Preview Podcast brought to you by the writing staff of Beaver the Matadors. com, and we've got Jonathan and Bryce with us today to preview the upcoming game with OU, and we have a special treat. We have Tremaine Swindle coming on a little bit later in the show, and let's get right to it. Say hi, guys.
Hey there, Ryan. Bryce.
What's up? I'm Bryce. How's it going?
Awesome. So let's get right to it because we don't want to keep Tremaine waiting too long. Going into this weekend, there's been a lot of talk about Baker Mayfield. Apparently, it's a bigger deal to even the OU side of things than people thought it would be for the Tech side. You know, everybody thinks that Tech has their feelings hurt and they're going to come to this game really amped up for it. Turns out that's not necessarily the case. It's like OU has really kind of gotten behind Baker Mayfield and they're really trying to rally support behind him. And one of the Sooner players even tweeted out hashtag payback for six. Apparently they don't like that their beloved too short quarterback in Baker Mayfield was apparently done wrong by Cliff Kingsbury. So what do y'all think about that? Jonathan, what do you think about this whole thing where it's kind of shifted to OU's really upset about how everything went down?
I think because that we have Mahomes and our quarterback situation is fantastic right now, that it's not that big of a deal for us as we thought it might be. I think Tech has moved on. Clearly they wanted to move on from Baker, and he's done well at OU, but Tech is, we're fine with Pat. I mean, there's no problems we've got at all with number five under center there, and he's done great. And I think if we were having a problem with our quarterback situation right now, then it would be different. But because everything is going so well right now, we've got a young quarterback in there who's running the offense very well, that it's kind of not really any of our concern anymore. I mean, he's on the other team. He's in another state. Yes, he's still in the conference, but it's none of our business anymore.
Yeah, Bryce, is it because, you know, we had so many decommits from the QB position, Stidham being one of them, is it because Cliff Kingsbury is supposed to be this like quarterback savant, this very integral part of QB development, and he's having trouble with, you know, quarterbacks? He had a couple problems with, you know, Mayfield leaving. He's had his issues with trying to get Webb to play more consistently. He had Stidham decommit. He had a couple Tristan Wallace decommitted. What do you think about the situation?
I think that you can only develop so many quarterbacks, and I think he's put most of the time and effort into Pat Mahomes, and it's working wonders. And as for OU fans getting super upset about how the Mayfield situation was handled, I don't really know what they're really looking for, because they're acting like Tech fans are riled up and jealous that Baker Mayfield's the greatest thing since sliced bread, and it's so wonderful that he's there and we're crying ourselves to sleep because we don't have him. But Tech fans really aren't that concerned about Baker leaving. We're perfectly fine with Pat Mahomes, and they're just trying to start something for God knows what reason.
Well, when you lose to a 1-4 Texas team, you got to figure out whatever you can to get pumped up for the next week, is my opinion. But okay, so the last preview question, because we want to get to Tremaine really quick. Go ahead and give me one, maybe two matchups this week that you either are most interested in or that we absolutely have to win to have a chance at winning, coming out of Norman with the victory. Let's go back to you, Jonathan.
One obviously is going to be Stryker. He's a fantastic player, and we need to be aware of where he is, especially the offensive line. They need to be very aware of where he's coming from, where he's starting out. And Pat needs to be aware as well. He needs to use those multiple Jedi eyes and be able to get away from him if he can, and then also to guide the passing plays away from him as well. He's a really good linebacker. Number two, I think, is going to be getting to Baker. UT did it, and they do have a little bit more talent, a lot of people say, on the defensive line. But I do think we need to get to Baker like they did and disrupt his mechanics and how he's throwing that ball.
Absolutely. Just quick follow-up. Where do you expect Stryker to come from? Where is he going to – what lineman is going to be matched up on him for the most part throughout the day, you think?
I think they might try him against Clark just to see how that knee is doing. I know it was reported earlier tonight – that Cliff said that he believes that LaRaven will be ready to go on Saturday, but he would not know until Saturday. So I think they're going to try and test that knee out early. I think we're going to try as well, maybe run and see if LaRaven can block pretty well. And I think Stryker's going to start there, and I think we're going to see him move around a lot.
Yeah. Okay, Bryce, what are your one or two keys to the game or matchups?
I agree that the defensive line is going to have to put a lot of pressure on Baker, and if you can get to him early and rattle him, that'll be just huge for a secondary that's been really suspect at times. And the fact that that Oklahoma doesn't have a very strong rushing offense is really, really working wonders in favor of Texas Tech, because that's what I've noticed is what we struggle a whole lot with is just so many teams just run it down our throats. Also, I think Justin Stockton needs to have a big game.
Agreed.
In order to take some of the pressure off of Pat from having to do literally everything, which he tried to do a bit too much of in Kansas. I think before that he hadn't had a real problem with having to force things too much, but most of the rushing game, just all the offense was shut down last week, so Patrick tried to force a few too many things. And if Justin Stockton can take some of the offensive load off of him, then we're going to have a big game.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think one thing that is kind of missed in all this is OU trying to get back to the running game with Lincoln Riley coming in and kind of opening it up with Mayfield. A lot of OU fans were upset thinking that, wow, you've got these great running backs here at Oklahoma and you're not using them, and to try and get back to that bread and butter, especially against a weak, supposedly weak front in Texas Tech. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that Pirine is listed as third in their depth chart.
Really?
I saw somebody reported on that today, and you wouldn't think after the season he had last year that that would have happened.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be as explosive as he was last year. He seems to be going, you know, kind of stutter-stepping at the line of scrimmage and kind of going east and west and kind of not really going downhill right away. So it'll be definitely something to watch.
Do you think it's more of a mental thing, or does he have some kind of injury that happened between last season and now?
That's a good question. I guess we'll find out. But I would think that if it was anything knee-related, that he wouldn't want to go laterally, or, you know, unless it's a hamstring thing. But I just think it may just be, you know, sophomore slump maybe. Just not really putting the time in, and he's got to – maybe putting him at third in the depth chart's going to get a fire under his butt, but hopefully not this week. So, and I think if we play like we did last year, but without the penalties, we'll win. We've been pretty much close the last couple years. We won 3 years ago. Or 4 years ago. So I'm really excited about this game, and anyway, let's go ahead and try to get to Tremaine and see if we can get him on here real quick. Okay, well, we're here with Tremaine. He has been kind enough to join us. I've known of him for a while now, followed him during his career at Tech, talked to him a lot over Twitter, actually sent him some apparel. He's, you know, just one of my absolute favorite guys to talk to, and we're lucky enough to have him today. And I just want to just jump right into the questions. the first thing that is on my mind, we talked about it on Twitter years and years ago, was the coaching change when Leach left and Tuberville came in. And a lot of fans who at the time didn't really want Leach anymore, they were upset with the way he was portraying Texas Tech during halftime interviews, post-game interviews, his little snippets that were made fun of kind of in a chuckle way all around the country. Mm-hmm. And then they got their Mack Brown type figure in Tommy Tuberville. But they don't understand how that affects players in your situation. You know, it didn't just affect you. It was Detron Lewis. It was Austin Zuzalek. It was Lyle DeLong for a little bit. Yeah, there's a whole group of players that were kind of being groomed to take over from the Amendolas and the Eric Morrises and the Crabtrees and everything. And then y'all just kind of got pushed to the side. Tell us a little bit about what you went through, what you saw, and your experience with that.
That whole experience was bittersweet. At the time, you know, we didn't know how fortunate we was to have Leach, you know, as our coach. He was a mastermind in offense. At that year, during the Alamo Bowl week and all, it was so crazy how that all played out. But it's like at the time, you know, we had Ruffy McNeil still, we had Lincoln Riley, you know, so we accepted, you know, what had happened, and we were really kind of relieved because there was a lot going on before that as far as like just, you know, how Leach was at the time. And, you know, of course, from the outside looking in, you do see Leach in the media and, you know, how he is, you know, and his, you know, I guess you can say the weird factor of him. But as far as with the players, I mean, it was getting kind of out of control. But I think he just wanted the best for us at the time. But as far as the game, I mean, we still went out. We had fun, you know, with Ruffin. Coach McNeil leading us out there and leading us to victory, and then Coach Lincoln Riley, you know, calling the plays, and you know, so it was a pretty fun experience, something different, of course. I mean, you know, a lot of it had hit us at the time, and for us to be out there, to go out there and still win and against a solid Michigan State team, it was a pretty good feeling. But of course, you know, the coaching, you know, candidates came, and you know, we hear this guy Tuberville, and you know, of course, I, you know, heard of him before, and you know, seeing him in the Blind Side movie and all that, so you know, we thought he'd be pretty cool to have around, and didn't know really his philosophy and all that of coaching, but you know, he came in, and it's like, we knew at that point that he really wasn't about Tech. He didn't, of course, didn't know tradition. He didn't know. I mean, I think he was just really trying to just get back into the game, and he used Texas Tech as that platform. And like you said before, you know, a lot of us took a hit as far as he recruiting, you know, JUCO players and other players to come in and take over. And I, you know, and me personally, I got, of course, you know, pushed to the side, and I mean, you know, my stats, as you can see, just dropped dramatically, and it was real hard for me to accept that. But you know, I had came this far, and like, you know, everything I've did year round with, you know, calling my brothers, you know, I just didn't want to, you know, just throw that away for me personally, and just quit, you know. So right. I stuck with it. I just went in the mindset of just, you know, just being a team player, just being there when I can, making the opportunity when it came, no matter how many plays I had in the game, how many balls I got thrown to me. I just tried to make the best of the opportunities, and I think I was able to do that. And you know, it's like I didn't know what else to do to prove to them that, you know, that I could play. Of course, especially after my first 2 years, it's like, you know, come on. So it took me a while to understand what was going on, but I just took it and, you know, and accepted it. And I was like, you know, God has a plan. I'm going to follow it and, you know, just try to be the best team player I could. So we still, I mean, it was a good experience. you know, we won some big games. So I was still able to enjoy the last 2 years, but not as much as, of course, I wanted to as far as being productive like I wanted to, you know. So,
right.
But, yeah, that experience was it was pretty hard at first, pretty depressing. But, you know, a lot of course, the players was like, man, we know you can play. We don't, you know, we understand what's going on, you know. But it was just hard, man, just to go through that, you know, the practice. How, you know, practice good and do good and then get told before the game I'm not going to rotate. You know, it was pretty devastating. But, you know, like I said, I just accepted it and just try to be the best team that I could in that time.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to open it up, have Jonathan and Bryce start asking some questions. But I have one quick follow-up. A long time ago we were talking about this, and you said Tuberville was kind of like just the figurehead. He wasn't really in the meetings, the offensive meetings throughout the week. So you didn't really see him except just out on the field.
Exactly.
How much did that affect, you know, just the team in general when, you know, they don't see their head coach other than just shows up to the game? I mean, how did that affect even some of the guys that were getting rotated in?
Yeah, it was a big change because, you know, with Leach, of course, he ran the offense. So he was out there. He was, you know, calling plays. He was coaching. You know, he was doing what he did. You know, that's, you know, he was doing it for a long time. That's what he did. You know, Tuberville, he would just, you know, ride around the car and not really, I mean, just walk around the field and outside the field, you know, say a few words here and there. But of course, as a head coach, as is, you know, in his mind, it was doing that, just, you know, being out there practicing, you know, things here and there. You know, he let his OC and DC, you know, do the most of the coaching and the position coaches as well. So that was a big change. Of course, wasn't used to that with Leach.
Did he really drive around in a cart?
Yeah, he would.
That's hilarious to me.
Yeah, he would.
He would drive
a cart down to practice, whether it was in a stadium or the practice fields, and you know. So yeah, he was.
Was it like a little? What are those little scooter things that advertised around?
The golf carts.
Wait, did he have it like at his house? Just like drove it from home to practice. I'm just imagining him like driving down.
Facility, but yeah, he would use it to come out to the field and stuff. But I'm not gonna lie, at practice, sometimes the players would hitch a ride if he would allow it. But
I'm just like imagining him driving down 19th Street in a golf cart.
Like he gets out of the cart when he gets to the field and like opens up a little walker with tennis balls on the end. He just kind of scoots it along a little bit.
That's funny.
Hilarious. Okay, Jonathan, Bryce, go.
All right, I'll take this one. Hey, Tremaine, this is Jonathan.
What's up?
You mentioned some big games playing for Tuberville. This week, of course, is Oklahoma for Tech. Can you talk to us about some of the experiences playing Oklahoma and the week preparing for them?
It's a week that you really want to be really focused. Of course, you think of OU, you think of national championships, you think of all the Heisman winners and the NFL players that they've had, all the tradition. You really want to, you know, be at the top of your game as far as like film and just preparing the game plan, what the coaches have for you and all that. And practice, that's the most important thing, the week of practice, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You know, you want it to be flawless. And it's a big game, no matter, you know, if Tech is ranked or not, or if OU ranked or not. You know, that's going to be a big game, especially in Norman. Incredible atmosphere, loud. It's always sold out. The fans are on top of you. It's a big stage. And, of course, with the history of Tech upset in OU, luckily, but UT is fortunate enough to you know, have that first upset before Tech can get to them. But I do think that Tech can go in and get them again. I mean, Tech has the weapons on offense. I mean, I think it's one of the best offenses they've had since, you know, the 08 year when we had Crabb and everybody. Absolutely. I mean, so many, you know, explosive players. And D. Washington, man, I know he came in as he was a true freshman my senior year, and that's when he had to get tore his ACL in Missouri. And before that, he was, you know, doing this thing, and I knew he would be something special. So it's kind of crazy that, you know, now he's finally a redshirt senior, and he is really balling, and Stockton and all of them. I mean, they have a lot of weapons on offense that can take them a distance, and they just have to, of course, you know, convert on those big plays, as far as, like, you know, not having drops when it's right. You know what I mean? So if they don't kill themselves, man, and shoot themselves in the foot, they can definitely stick with OU and of course beat them as well. So, but yeah, that the OU game is always been, of course, special to me because I'm from Oklahoma City. So a lot of my friends and families are OU fans. A lot of people my mom and dad work with, my family work with, they're OU fans. And till this day, my mom always gets asked about, you know, that catch by me and all that. And
awesome.
It's still brought up to this day. So
I was right in front of me. I could see it from about 20 rows up. It was fantastic.
I was so confused, man. It was like a blur to me, man. I just remember I wasn't even supposed to be in that play. I know the ball snapped. I ran and I wasn't even expecting the ball. I just looked up and I seen it. And I just put my hands up. That's all I remember. I don't know how.
I'm surprised Tuberville didn't come out and rip the helmet right off your head.
I did not. I was going to say something, but
go ahead. Just do it, man.
It's crazy. But the position coach, he actually said that he was like, you lucky or something. You call it something like you're just kind of playing around. But he's like, man, you know, he's really trying to get in somebody else for me. But I was like, yeah, okay. But yeah, man, it was crazy, man. I didn't even know if I was in or not. I was so confused when I got up. I think you can tell, like you can tell on the video, if you watch it. OU is a great place to play in for sure. I mean, great tradition there at that place.
So when you're playing there, how long does it take before Boomer Sooner starts to get annoying?
It's from the jump. It's like, oh man, it just makes you just want to just shut them up as quickly as possible.
Do you ever turn around and just put your finger over your mouth like shh?
Yeah, I actually OU fan I'm cool with from Oklahoma City. His name is Scissor Hands. You probably heard of him. He's a big time barber in Oklahoma City, and he's been going to the game since, you know, day one. And he sits right behind the visitors bench, so he always used to talk noise and yell at us and everything. So, of course, when I caught that pass, I was looking for. I don't think I found him after I caught that pass, but. But yeah, it's always fun, man. Their fans they're crazy, man. They're loud and they're right there on top of you. But yeah, that place quiet, man. It's pretty nice, pretty nice.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Bryce, and I got a question for you. So there's been a lot of beef stewed up about whether it's real or not. Tech fans being upset about Baker Mayfield doing all these great things and getting national attention over at OU. And I just wanted to know what your thoughts are on how he's going to handle this game, trying to play against Texas Tech for the first time, and whether it's going to affect him really well in a positive or a negative light, and just how you think that whole situation went down.
I think of course Baker's going to be thinking about it. I mean, he's a great player, so I think he'll snap out of it and play his game. Even when he was at Tech, I mean, he was, you know, I really loved how he played the game. And I know the first time I seen him play against SMU, I'm like, dang, this dude's a redshirt. I was like, he's a walk-on. I was like surprised. So, I think he's going to play his game. I think he's going to be a little tight but first. Of course, he's playing against his former team that, you know, didn't want to release him, but. I think he's going to play his best and do what he can for them to win. So I'm looking forward to seeing that, and hopefully the defense can kind of, you know, hit him in the mouth a little bit to scare him a little bit. But yeah, I think he's going to do great, though. He always, you know, when you hit him in the mouth, he always gets up and make the bigger play. You've seen that throughout the season. So defense is going to have a task.
I can just say that OU got lucky that it kind of fell the way it did with his eligibility to play this game in Norman. I think Baker would be a lot more uptight in Lubbock.
Yes, that's for sure. I mean, of course, Lubbock is that's a tough place to play, and the fans would have been on his tail if he was in Lubbock. So, but I think he's gonna feel a lot more comfortable in OU for sure.
Yeah. So I'm gonna be the living in the past guy apparently, because I just have to know when Leach was there, it was almost impossible to beat Tech in Lubbock. It was either a letdown game, kind of see 2009 against A&M, or it was just a a dominant UT team coming in and beating Tech in Lubbock. Since Tuberville came in, it's like the mystique of the Jones went in the crapper. You lost to Iowa State 41-7 at home, lost to Oklahoma State 66-6 at home. There was very few big wins that, you could really hang your hat on. How did you as a player and as a team see that? How did you feel about that? The teams were coming in, Tuberville's trying to, rebuild the SEC defense at Tech not work, but only put up single digits under Neil Brown's, play calling.
It made me sick to my stomach for a lot of reasons. Of course, first one is, we weren't used to that. We were used to competing no matter who it was. And that Leach had that mentality that, he don't give a F who you're, who you're lining up against. Just do your job. You're gonna kick their tail, basically. You know what I mean? Another reason is because I wasn't able to contribute with my teammates like I wanted to and help out when I knew I could, at that Iowa State game after we beat OU, and the OSU game is my senior night, my senior day. And I don't think I played a couple snaps and we lost 66-6, and that's what, it just burned me that I couldn't help out, like they wouldn't let me help out like I wanted to. Especially after doing what I was able to do my first 2 years, with the team, it just hurt me that I couldn't be out there with my team and help them and go to battle with them and fight with them, and and do what we do. So definitely wasn't used to that. The Jones, we protected the Jones no matter who it was, of course to the best of our ability. And it was just a whole different scenery, man. Of course the pyre stuff. Of course, still people would still, wear the pyre stuff or have the flags, but it wasn't as what's the word? Massive as when Leach was there. It was a massive fan base of pirates and the swords, and that was the character of us and Leach, and that's what made Texas Tech unique, to play.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it seemed like that was the kind of culture that he helped form there, this no holds barred, I don't care what the score is, we're going to continue to come after you.
And exactly.
You may leave here with a win, but you're going to feel like a loss.
Exactly.
When we're done with you. And, I saw the kind of the culture change under Tuberville, and I feel like a little bit of it under Kingsbury is starting to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But with all the issues in recruiting with that Kingsbury's trying to rebuild that, it's coming back a little bit. But
I think getting the excitement back has really helped. Like, this is my first football season at Tech, and seeing that TCU game, that was one of the most insane crowd atmospheres I've ever been in.
It was
raining, like pouring heavy rain, like raindrops that would get like half your arm wet for like 30 minutes, 45 minutes straight. And not a single person left. They just got louder and crazier, and it was ripping and roaring. It was amazing so many tortillas.
Yes. Yeah, that was pretty crazy to see on TV, man. I wish I was able to make that one, but I know that was insane to be a part of in an atmosphere. But yeah, that's what it's all about. And with that whole Tuberville era, I mean, I just hate thinking about it because he wasn't about Texas Tech at all. And everybody could see that, you know. But as you can see, I mean, what took him, how long was he there? About three years or so?
3 years.
3 years.
Then he tucked tail and ran.
Then he did.
He pulled a Mayfield.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, it's just hard to think about in that era. Like I said, it was bittersweet when Leach left and it came back and bit us, and of course the whole university, you know. But Kingsbury, you know, he's up and coming. You know, we knew it was going to take time. You know, Tuberville put us in a hole basically. I mean, with Stockton and, you know, Pat, I mean, everybody Kingsbury's getting, I mean, you know, they're young and they can play. And that's what you want to see is what he's starting to build now, you know. And everybody he's getting this upcoming recruiting season as well, recruiting year as well. So I'm very excited for Kingsbury. And when I was able to meet him, it was that spring game, his first spring game. I came to Lubbock and I met him. I was like, man, you're if only you could have came a year earlier. I think I told him. he's like, yeah, I know, man, I know. So he's a cool dude. I like what he's doing. And of course, he's learning a lot. You know, took some tough losses, but that's only going to make them that much better. So. Really excited for it, the Kingsbury era now.
Yeah, the funny thing is about Kingsbury, it's not really funny, but I loved how he would talk about being at a distance, being at A&M, being in Houston, and, you know, he would always keep tabs on how Tech was doing, and he said that was a huge factor in him coming back, or him taking the job, not just because of his head coach, not just because it was at Texas Tech, but he said, you know, it made him sick to his stomach, much like you, being at A&M and seeing where Tech football went. And he said it was a big thing for me to come back and try to get us back to where we belong. So definitely understand that.
Do you think him having spent that time in Lubbock and, like, knowing the culture and being committed to Lubbock and Texas Tech specifically is going to help him, like, bring the program back to, like, where it was? And he already has that sort of edge that, like, Mike Leach had talking about with Brett Bielema and kicking his ass. And I love seeing a coach have some fire about things like that and, like, just bringing it up and bringing that, like, Texas Tech spirit. So you think that's going to help him out in the long run with getting this program back to where he wants it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, you know, like I said, I mean, he knows what goes down at Texas Tech. Like you say, you know, he was sick to his stomach. That's how you're supposed to feel when you know what's really supposed to be happening, you know? So with that fire that he has, you know, that's going to help out tremendously as far as moving forward and getting the program back to where it's supposed to be at.
Okay, just changing gears real quick, because this is a question I've had. I've kind of talked to you just a little bit about you caught – I think you're one of the only receivers to catch balls from four different QBs. You caught – from Harrell, you caught from Potts, you caught from Sticks, then you caught from Daigie. So twofold a question. I know you already said that if you had one game to win, all things being equal, you would take Harrell hands down.
Mm-hmm.
But who throws the best ball and who has the best arm strength of those four? Like, if just the prettiest ball, you just love catching it, and then who has the best arm strength of those four?
Oh man, you know I'm friends with all these dudes, right?
I doubt they're listening.
You never know. Hey, so the strongest arm, I would say Taylor Potts. He's call him T Pistol, man. He got a cannon on him. The pretty like the nicest ball. Yeah, Potts throws too hard. So I would have to say Daigie.
Interesting.
Either Graham. That's tough though. Either Graham or Daigie with the best balls to catch. You know, just them pretty tight spirals.
Mm.
Sticks is just, I gotta mention him as well. I mean, Sticks, he's just all around. I mean, he got an arm. He can, you know, he can throw it. Exactly. That's a great word for him. Is he's just a gamer. We had some fun times when he was playing. So he held me down for sure. But I had to mention him. But yeah, Graham or Daigie with the best looking ball. Best ball to catch, and then of course Taylor Potts with the strongest arm.
If you ever did like a short route, a little slant or a little crossing, you know, 10-yard and over, find that soft spot in the zone. Was there ever a time where Taylor's ball just got on you quicker than you thought, and it just kind of you had a double clutch, or you know, it kind of got off your hands a little bit, and you had a double clutch or anything like that?
Oh yeah, for sure, most of the time actually. But he would make sure to get there for sure. But he was, I mean, I think he did a great job of taking over after Graham left. You know, big body with a strong arm. You know, what else could you ask for? But yeah, so definitely, yeah, he would put it on you for sure.
And you said going back to OU week a little bit, when you played. You were saying that one of the guys that seemed to line up on you, and you were always kind of very friendly, go back and forth with each other, was Dominique Franks. What were some of those conversations like in the heat of the game, whether you were, you know, blowing them out in 2009, getting blown out in 2008? I mean, how did that normally go down?
Well, especially the 08 game, we wouldn't like get a first down or somewhere. We wouldn't get, I'm sorry, a third down, and he would talk noise and be like, "Man, you should have came here. You should have came here." So just stuff like that, man. That, you know, we would go back and forth about. When we beat him in 09, I think I caught a pass over him on the sideline, and you know, I was talking noise as well. So it's just like I said, it's just friendly stuff, you know, just to get our blood flowing, you know, keep the game interesting and fun. But yeah, stuff like that. But yeah, of course, he's from Oklahoma too, so I knew him before, of course. And
did you play
still
against
talk.
Him in high school?
I played against him in basketball, not football. He went to Tulsa Union. They're big 6A, and we were, my school was like a 2A school. So, well, we did play him in basketball though, and beat him then. So, I'm used to beating him quite a bit throughout the years. Also on 2K as
oh,
well.
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah,
nothing like 2K bragging rights.
For sure.
I guess I'm the only one asking questions right now.
Go for it, Ryan.
Because I've got a ton. You know, we can go back to
let him bring them.
Yeah, you know, I was. It feels like I'm rehashing old wounds with the whole Tuberville thing, but
great.
You know, you had that back to back. In 2010 and 2011, where you had kind of the restructuring of the conference, you had to go to Norman twice in a row. In 2010, it was my real first impression of Tuberville. You went in there, you wore the Auburn. I know it's kind of traditional tech, but it just with Tuberville, it reminded me of Auburn. I call it the Auburn helmet and red pants. And
Yeah,
it's just it. You could just kind of think, "Wow, Tubbs, you're really trying to turn Tech into Auburn of the West." But you go in there and obviously you struggle. It's a 41-7 game. Yet another what would come to be kind of a recurring thing for what was supposed to be a very good Tech offense, single digit performance. I was there. Good seats. And then I was listening to Tuberville afterwards, and he kind of kept saying, well, you know, they're just a well-coached team. They're well-prepared, you know, all that stuff. And I just want to say, well, what the heck were you doing all week? And then, you know, you have to come back out the very next year. How did y'all feel going into that game in 2011? I'm not sure who, off the top of my head, who you played, but right before that, I don't know if it was the TCU game or not.
We didn't play TCU that year. The next year they went to TCU. That was the first time playing TCU.
Oh, it was 2012. You're right.
2012. So I'm not sure who we played before OU in 2011. But I mean that week. I know we had a great practice. I do remember that. We had a great week of practice. And, I mean, we were just going in and to play, you know, to play and, you know, do our job. And, I mean, it so happened it was a rain delay. I mean, how long was it, about an hour or so?
It was an hour and a half because once they got everybody off the field, it rained for a good hour and 15 minutes, and then they had to kind of get the field slowly prepped just really quick and let y'all come back out and restretch and everything. And so yeah, it was a good hour and a half.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like at that point it's like, I mean, it's late, it's like, you know, let's just play this game and get out of here. You know, I knew I wasn't gonna play, you know, a lot anyway. So it's like, man, let's just play hard and let's try to beat these fools, you know. I mean, they were what, ranked top team, number three, right?
Yeah, I think they were third.
Yeah, they were three in the country.
So it's like, you know, hey, let's play and let's get out of here. And the thing with that game is, like, we played Kansas State before that.
Okay, yeah. Before then.
But the thing with that game was, like, we jumped on them so quick. And it's like, is this really OU, you know, like, you know, number three in the nation? And of course, I've been in a situation with, you know, playing UT, they number one coming in the Tech, but playing OU at home and dominating them as early as we did, you know, I mean, everybody firing on all cylinders.
Well, maybe the game, I mean, was, for them, they just were up past their bedtime.
I really think they wasn't, they kind of like lost the emotion and lost the drive they had for the game after that long delay, and just wasn't taking us serious. And we, you know, we came out and like I said, played hard and did what we had to do. And once they were down, you know, they woke up, of course, but, you know, we were still on them. And I mean, end up beating them. They missed two field goals, like 2-point play field goals. I remember because I was on a field goal block. And it was pretty crazy to see, man. Like, you know, everything was going our way, you know, and it's pretty great win to beat them and end that streak that they had, you know. Mm-hmm. That was pretty good. But, I mean, after that, lost the rest of the games. I mean, it was incredible. That season was a roller coaster, a big roller coaster. But mainly going down, you know, we wouldn't ever going back up, but but yeah, and then not to make the bowl game, lost to Baylor the last game in Cowboy Stadium, for my last year, you know, it was a sick feeling, but definitely that OU game is a highlight of that year. But yeah, from the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to, you know, it was crazy. That night was crazy.
If you know, the recent history between OU and Tech has been a lot of everything goes right for one team, nothing seems to really click for the other. You can go back, you know, even to 2007, your redshirt year, where, you know, we knocked Murray and Bradford out of the game early with concussions and dislocated shoulder or whatever it was, broken collarbone. With Murray, and things just kind of go that way. And then 2008, kind of that, like you said, that dazed and confused, not because what was it, 7-0 after one, after the first quarter, and then it was 42-7 at halftime. I mean, that definitely is a shot. And then 2009, obviously everything goes your way again. But going into Norman, I think the biggest test for Texas Tech this year is going to have to be, how do they respond when they do get hit in the mouth? Under Tuberville, it was like, if we don't score every single possession, we're done. Where Leach, it was like, okay, we're down by 30 with, 7 minutes left to go in the third. We still got this.
Let's come back and win.
Exactly. Yeah, we still got this. And you know, you kind of see like a little bit of half and half under Kingsbury as he's trying to put everything back together again. But if you could sit there in the locker room for the game or give any type of advice to the players or Pat or Jakeem or anybody, what would you say to them, if they do get down early? Say it's, boom, boom, right off the bat, 14-0 in the first. How would you tell them or kind of inspire them to come back?
Don't even look at the score. Just when you have your offensive possession, just do your job, make the plays. Of course, you want to try to score as quickly as possible, but you also want to do it within the offense that Kingsbury calls. And I know he's gonna do a great job with that. So I believe Kingsbury's gonna put them in a great position, and I do believe he's going to have some more trick plays up his sleeves that he's going to bring out. And as long as you execute, and play your position, do your job, you'll be fine. And again, they're just another team across from you. So both playing the same sport, playing the same game, just you and them on the field. So. And Tech has all the talent in the world to win this game. So, I would just tell them just to play your game, do your job, and everything else will work out.
Okay, so now I'm going to put you as a player. You're there again. Mahomes is quarterback, and Mahomes. I think if one criticism on Mahomes is that he looks for the home run ball a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
And it works out well. He scrambles around, comes up, steps up in the pocket, and then he throws it deep and finds Jakeem Grant behind the defense, and it just seems to work out. I think Kingsbury against Iowa State, he said in the headset it was from Emo up top, was no, 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 yes type of a player. Very much Johnny Manziel throwing into triple coverage, and Mike Evans just goes up there and grabs it.
Mm-hmm.
If like in Kansas, he's missing that home run ball. He misses you wide open. He kind of too amped up. He overthrows you. He's not seeing his progressions well. What advice would you give to him? You come up to him on the sideline, put your hand on his shoulder, and what would you say to him specifically?
I'd be like, dog. you got this. We do this.
I'm 6'5", bro.
Yeah, we did this.
How can you miss me?
We did this every day in the summer. Okay, it's the blazing sun on us. You hit me on this. You get it. This is another day, another game. And we got this on the next one. You got me? He'll say, "Yeah, I got you." So it will be good. Next time he'll hit me. Awesome. That's how we go.
And. My panel is not asking any questions right now. What are y'all doing?
I've got one for you, Jermaine.
Thank you.
All right.
with somebody like Pat that he's scrambling around, how much do you tend to leave your route on something like that? Or how much do you try and stick it out and hope that he finds you on that and not try and do any kind of improvising on the fly?
Well, it depends on – and this was with Sticks a lot, of course – it depends on where you're at your route and when you see him starting to scramble. Anytime you see him start to scramble, that's scramble drill. We worked on that with Leach every practice, scramble drill. So whatever way he go, you have a certain spot that you run to basically get in front of his face. So those are always, of course, big plays and fun plays to be a part of. Because at that point it's like backyard football, you just trust that Pat or Sticks will find you, and you're able to make that big play. Because them scrambling plays are, they're exciting plays. So that gets the crowd going, that gets the team going, especially when the quarterback has ability to extend the play and make something, you know, big of it, you know. So, but, yeah, definitely it all depends on which way you start the scramble, you know. At that point in your route, you want to break it off and continue on to your scramble drill and go try to get to your spot and get in front of the QB so he can see you.
Like when it's third and 30 and he starts scrambling around and you just try and get to the first down marker.
Yeah. In that case, say you're, I mean, well, if it's third, you said 3rd and 3?
3rd and 30.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah. And that was impressive what he did. That was some great awareness that he had to be right across that stick and catch the ball and then fall, you know, take his momentum back across, you know. That was pretty impressive.
You know, that's one thing I've always noticed about you guys as receivers, and it was really noticeable during the 2-minute drill on that last little drive against Texas in 08, is it seems like y'all were always taught to kind of turn sideways and fall forward to, like, squeeze between two defenders coming at you. It just seemed like every time y'all fell willingly, you know, anticipating a hit, or you kind of fell a certain way, and you always fall forward past the yard to gain, or the, you know, the marker to gain. So, is that something that's taught, or is that just something that comes naturally for y'all?
Well, Leach always used to tell us to go north and south, so get straight up field when you catch the ball. Now, you know, Jakeem, you know, he can do what he wants. Of course, he has a bit, but the time with us, you know, we had basically just, you know, all possession receivers basically that can catch the ball and go upfield. So that's what he, you know, preached was catch the ball and get straight upfield. You know, don't waste any movement going east west, go north south. So that's where that came from.
Yeah, it was weird. You know, y'all would – I saw, I think, it may have been you. It may have been Edward Britton. But he did, like, a little 8-yard out route. He would catch it, and then he would just kind of fall forward, you know, just kind of push, and he, you know, first down, clocks, you know, stop mm-hmm. the clock. So yeah. Those are always kind of interesting things to see and pick up on your trade craft.
Yeah, it's the little things, man.
Yeah, and you know, my next question kind of goes right into that is, if you're lined up on, say, Franks, does he do any tells to see how he's going to try and get you off your route? I mean, is it a footwork thing? Is it a shoulders thing? I mean, especially if he's up in press coverage, how do you sit there and say, okay, I'm, you know, right off the snap, he's going to try and move me this way. How can I get to where I actually need to go?
Yeah, it all depends on where he lines up on you. If he's right across – and, you know, head up, you know, looking like man jammed. And at that time, we called it foot fire, is, you know, it's basically like a release to get off the line. And of course, you use your hands to get them off of you. So, you react how he comes at you, basically, you know. So, a lot of quick thinking, but of course that comes through, you know, practice throughout the year, you know. But yeah, definitely how he lines up across, and then you go from there.
Before we get to what your prediction is for the game this week and what you how you see the game playing out and some matchups, I have one last question. I'm not sure about if Jonathan or Bryce have any more questions.
I got one.
I forgot they were back there.
Yeah, I got something. What was it like the first time you stepped out onto the Jones, your very first game out there? Can you kind of describe that?
Playing?
Yeah, the first game you played there.
That was Eastern Washington.
Powerhouse.
freshman year. Oh, wait. It gave me butterflies, man. I mean, running out that smoke and seeing it, the full stadium. And that's when, you know, it was a lot of hype that year about around Tech, of course. And I ended up I ended up getting like, I think, 5 catches or something like that, and as my debut game. I think I had the first catch of the season as well. I remember the play was it was Ace Washallow, and I like had like a little dig, and Graham threw it to me, I think for like 5 yards or something like that. But I knew that, you know, it was going to be a fun year, and I was just excited to be on that team and play, you know. But really, really excited that my first game. I'll never forget that game. So it was a fun time that night.
And that was a night game?
Yeah, it was a 6 o'clock game.
Okay. Well, we don't seem to get any of those anymore.
It's all two night games.
Yeah.
What's a night game? Do they have lights for the drones?
I guess when the pirate left, it all the night games left too. I don't know.
Yeah,
they had pirate, but yeah, I mean, them night games, man. We rarely had any, especially at home. I mean, it was always a 6 o'clock game. It seemed like, I think we had one 11 o'clock game at home at 08 year, but even throughout the years, I mean, it's always a 6 o'clock game.
Yeah, it was a 2:30 start against Nebraska in 08. I know that.
Yes.
For sure.
Yep. But.
Yeah, but I think it's like especially a Thursday night game.
Yeah, when Tuberville came, he started just trying to get on TV.
Yeah, because we had a Sunday game. What was it on Labor Day against SMU?
Yeah. Yeah,
I remember that. Yeah.
And yeah. I even told my wife at the time, I said, watch. Now, I love the red. I do. I love the red. But I even told my wife, I said, look, he's going to try to change the culture game one. And he's going to try and put as little black on that on the uniform as possible. And y'all came out with red jerseys and white pants.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
So
did we even wear all black? That I don't think we – so I think he –
y'all
he
wore all black against, I think, Baylor. And during your bowl game against Northwestern.
No, we wore black and white.
Against
all
Baylor?
Black. Baylor, we wore all white against Baylor. What?
In
2010? Wait, which year? 2010.
2010. Y'all were in the Cotton Bowl, not in Jerry World.
But no. Tuberville. The last time we played in the Cotton Bowl against Baylor, it was against. Okay, that's right. So we were in all black, or was it black and white?
I want to say it was all black, but
I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure it was black jersey, white pants. I could be wrong.
Don't go against me, Jermaine. I know my test.
This is your show, my bad.
No, y'all wore red top, white bottoms against Baylor in the Cotton Bowl.
See, it wasn't. I know it wasn't all black.
Yeah, y'all apparently not. sorry, Jermaine. My fault. Now let's get to the nitty gritty. What are some matchups that you think are extremely important, or matchups that Tech has to win this Saturday to get out of Norman with the win?
I think the line of scrimmage, of course. You got to start there, because with DeAndre Washington running the ball like how he is, I mean, they've been doing a great job all year. Just to continue to win a line of scrimmage so he can get through them holes and have those big plays, because that opens up the pass. So I'm looking for them to win a line of scrimmage. And then I believe our receivers are way better than their DBs. So I look for them to dominate them on the offensive end. And then, of course, our young DB core, and they stay smart and, you know, not try to, you know, do too much and just, you know, keep Mayfield back there uncomfortable. I think that'll help out as well. And then to keep Mayfield contained, you know, because, of course, he has the ability to scramble and run the ball. So, you know, just so those – I think those are – for me personally are the key – you know, matchups in this game for Tech to win.
So Baker Mayfield looked really inconsistent for like the first half of the year. The last couple of games, he's really started to settle down and be more of a consistently dominant quarterback. What do you think has been the main change in him to facilitate this improvement?
Just getting more comfortable with the offense, and you know, just playing for OU, and you know, that's a big deal. So I think he was had a lot on his mind at first, but I think he's gotten a lot more comfortable, and he's being a player that you know he can be.
What is a non-obvious cue to you about if this game is going to go good or bad for Tech? There's always – we can kind of look at stats and stuff like that, but while you're watching the game, what is something that is cue to you that may not be obvious to everybody else that's going to tell you, oh, we got this, or oh, we're in trouble?
Well, the oh, we're in trouble is – I mean, every game I played in, you know, on that the first offensive possession, you want to score a touchdown. If you go three and out, you know, that's when you want to think about, hey, that, you know, we don't want this to happen every possession, you know, and I think that's the one of those, you know, old snaps, you know, but for them to go downfield, you know, flawless and execute and score, you know, that's when we have a good feeling, like, hey, let's keep it rolling, you know, let's keep this going, score in every possession, and you know, they can't stop us. As you can see in the first possession, they didn't stop us, so let's do it again the next time, you know. So
setting the tone.
Exactly.
Okay, awesome. Well, what's your prediction for the game? How do you see this thing playing out?
All right, so I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, and I think it'll be OU about 38. I think Tech will pull it off and have about, I'd say, 45, and it's going to be a close high-scoring game is what I predict. So Tech winning 45-38 or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the difference in the game? What's the play that we're going to go back on and be like, that's it, that's the game clincher right there? Is it going to be something like 2011 where we're ahead and they kind of creep back, or is it going to be a TCU just one right after another?
Yeah, I think it's going to be trading back points. I think the defense is going to come up with a big interception or a stop.
Jayshon Johnson.
Yeah, I was just about to say his name.
He's had it.
Ball hog.
Yeah, he's the guy that does it.
I got to see him make, yeah, for sure. I see him making a big play to kind of secure the victory. So we'll see.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. If the rain keeps up here in Dallas, I will be actually at the game. I'll be excited to take in another OU game. Tremaine, I don't know if I told you, but I spent mid-90s growing up in Midwest City.
Really?
Yeah, outside of Tinker.
Man.
Yeah, my sister went to Carl Albert and – we were over there with the Midwest City Bombers all the time, which quickly became a weird type of name after 95. But I was down there and then moved to Texas. And because OU was my first real college experience of actually going to a game, I hated A&M and I hated UT, but didn't hear much about Tech. So yeah. I ended up going out to Tech, and now I've really started to not like OU. So
yeah, I don't blame
it's
you,
like,
man.
Arrogant fans. It's like, do you not realize that, you know, they're always talking about fire Bob Stoops, and I'm like, do you not realize that before Bob Stoops, you had Howard Schnellenberger and John Blake, and where were you then?
Mm-hmm.
OU fans always think like some, you know, Jim Harbaugh is going to come in there and coach, or, you know, Chip Kelly is going to come back. And
it's like Texas fans and Nick Saban.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. You know, they were – a lot of OU fans were upset that Lincoln Riley was the guy that they brought in, and I saw that coming because they were like, no, we need to get some, you know, the offensive coordinator from Oregon. And I'm like, yeah, because that's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you got to go to your lower tier. You got to go to your low ACC, Big East, Sun Belt. Try to pick the best guy. There's nobody on Lincoln Riley's level, but they're going to pick Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, Lincoln's my guy, man. I'm happy for him. We used to have, like, during camp, we used to have, like, wrestling matches after practice. And he's just a fun guy, man. He's a smart dude.
Yeah, I just still wish that, you know, Lincoln had stayed and McNeil got the head coaching job. And
yeah, that's what we all wished. Yeah,
and but. I mean, I guess it's worked out right now. He's having a lot of success in East Carolina at his alma mater. Yeah. Lincoln got a chance to put up a top five offense a couple of years in a row, and now he's at OU, and we got Kingsbury, so it kind of all works out. So
exactly.
Well, any parting thoughts, Jonathan or Bryce?
No, I can't think of anything. It was great to hear from you, Tremaine. A lot of insight and a lot of cool stuff to hear about from the past.
Yeah, I've got no thoughts because that's my brain.
Well, I really appreciate it, Tremaine. It's great to talk to you. It's great to hear about some of the ins and outs of your trade craft and kind of your experiences with OU. I know we've been talking back and forth for a few years now, and want to let you know how much it's meant to me, and definitely helping us out and getting on here with us and giving us this opportunity to talk to you really means a lot, and I really appreciate it.
No problem, man. My pleasure, man. Nice to meet y'all, man. Send me some gear, Ryan.
I will. Real. As soon as I get some new gear in, man. I'll send it your way, man.
I only got one shirt from you in the past 8 years. I'm faded now.
Falling out.
Hey, are you double XL still?
XL.
XL. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I don't live in place already, so.
Okay. Yeah, I think I have some XL stuff. I'll send your way.
All right, man. I'm just messing with you, though. But I appreciate it, man.
No, I'm happy to do it. So, but anyway, thank you. Enjoy the game, man, and we'll talk soon. Okay.
All right. I'll holler at y'all.
All right. Bye.
All right.
Bye. Yeah. So, if y'all don't have anything else,
I got one thing. I don't know if y'all saw it on Twitter earlier this evening, but Lauderdale he tweeted payback, LOL, and then that purple devil emoji.
Oh my goodness. We need more of that. All right. Well, that was a fun hour.
2 hours?
30 minutes. Yeah, it's about an hour 30 minutes. So that's pretty cool. Okay, guys. I appreciate it. Y'all have
a good one. Yeah, no problem. All right. You too.
You too.